So we'll call this meeting to order. Thanks for coming. Can you do the roll call, Stephanie?
Astrid Bergson, Island Danaby.
Here.
Bill Gleason, Ernie Gullerud.
Here.
Dolores Henry.
Here.
Mike McClellan, Tom Moore, Julian Rappaport, Deborah Townsend.
Here.
Okay, since we don't have a quorum, why don't we go into some citizen input? We can do that, can't we? Are there any comments from our citizens in the audience? Is there anyone who would like to speak on any topic about? Okay, hearing none. Is there any DDB information, Peter?
The only thing I can mention is that the DDB information about applications was passed out to you, so you can see what kind of applications we have for the DDB, and they this morning received the same information from you all.
Thanks, Peter. Since we don't have a quorum, why don't we just jump right into our new business, and I'll turn it over to Peter.
Okay. Today at 2:30, Dr. Kalmanoff is here, right?
Yes.
You going back there?
Yes, I want to watch
here. Okay. We had a meeting at 2:30 today that was to kind of review mental health services and how they relate to the criminal justice system in Champaign County. And one of the things that I think that we didn't cover today was that the Community Elements was not at our meeting, and they are here with us now. And we have two people, Becky Griffith is there, and also Julie Cartel, both from Community Elements. And I think what we basically were lacking today that would be helpful would be for you to give us a little overview of with the adult juvenile justice, the adult justice system. How does your agency work with people that are in jail? How are transitions out of jail accomplished? And what do you see as the problems? What do you see as the planning for the future? Sort of draw us a map of what things look like at this point.
Okay. Currently, right now, I directly work with drug court and mental health court. I am an LCSW, so I do most of the referrals and screenings for the folks that are in the criminal justice system right now that want to be linked to our services. We offer possible psychiatric case management, counseling, any sort of group therapy services that, if assessed, is necessary. Currently, right now, we don't have anyone physically in the jail, but we do keep contact with the jail mental health staff, the officers on duty, and then also through the legal system with the lawyers. If they have referrals, they will call us and tell us that they would like someone to be screened or someone to be linked with services. So currently, we can either, if someone is released from the jail, they can come to us, make a phone call, get connected that way where we can assess someone, and or we can go to the jail and assess them before they're released. It really just depends on the crime and where the referral comes from and how we find out about if they need mental health treatment or not currently. Right now, a lot of the people that I see are typically already linked through us with the court system through drug court or mental health court. We've had some where the sheriff has called and said this person needs help. They pretty much don't have any services currently. We would like you to see them. So I've gone and I've assessed them, and then when they are released, they come and follow up with me. Me and then there's several other people that work with the forensic team, but typically I'm a direct contact right now. It's been really helpful. I've had communications with Nadia Berger. She's the mental health worker there that she will let me know when people are in need of services. Once they're released, we give them, if they haven't already been assessed, we'll do a full assessment and connect them with what they need, depending on their current needs, whether it's the doctor or case case management or therapy, so on and so forth. Right now, one of the large hurdles that we've had is when someone is released from jail, they typically not always follow up with services. So we've made that connection with them, but they're not coming to us right after they're released. We've had some luck with folks that have been either directly brought over, or as long as they've made some face-to-face contact with someone, they seem more open to finally coming to the center, knowing who they're connected with. Because if they just walk in off the street, it's hard for them to explain, well, I've been to jail and I need help, or if they were on parole, or if they were just released from IDOC. So we do, through the Mental Health Board, obviously we offer all of those services for folks that have been incarcerated or currently in some sort of criminal justice issues right now.
Could you talk a little bit about you mentioned the provider at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the provider, and then how do you coordinate with that provider?
I think they're called correctional counseling. Is their agency? Is that? I'm pretty sure. Nadia Berger is the one I work with currently. I think she's the supervisor. They're an agency that's contracted out of Peoria. I met her through attending our mental health court staffing. She's a part of that team. And we make a lot of our connections through emails or phone calls. They can be difficult to get a hold of because of they're in the jail. So it's usually you have to call and then they'll go find her so I can speak with her. And then she clinically will let us know if there's something more that needs to be done. They typically do a lot of risk assessment, suicide assessment, and then the more intensive or more long-term treatment needs, they would need to be referred and then follow up with us, depending on their level of care needs. So it usually they will have a client or an inmate sign a release that's okay to talk to us, and then vice versa through our agency.
Mm-hmm. Of the clients at the jail, what would you estimate that, you know, the ones that you've previously had contact with or that you already know that are open cases, let's say, with Community Elements?
Currently, there's a handful that we're working with that are not directly involved with drug court or mental health court. We've got maybe five that I can think of off the top of my head, mm-hmm. that are currently either incarcerated, have ongoing charges, or on probation that we work with in a case management community support basis, whether they've been incarcerated for some sort of petty theft or some more intensive crime. And then it kind of leads to, you know, do they need to be evaluated for fitness, and then where to go from there, which is, you know, where we can actually step in and help. Because if it's a fitness issue, then it becomes a different issue, because they would have to be evaluated by the forensic psychiatrist, mm-hmm. which I think is typically Dr. Jekyll.
One other question, and that is, if you had a magic wand, what is needed at this point?
I think it would be very helpful to have a staff person to be allowed access to inmates that are in the jail, so we can make a more visible presence with them, so they can make the connections. When I see people right now, it's through a glass wall, it's with a telephone. It's very difficult to make that intimate connection, to build some sort of rapport with an individual that needs help. Mm-hmm. Also, we're dealing with clientele that have huge trust issues. They're either maybe possibly very paranoid, and it makes a big difference when you can have some more contact with them. And I realize there's safety issues, but I think that would be very helpful to have that direct line instead of going through other people. Mm-hmm. You know, at least someone to contact us and tell us to come and let us have a little more contact.
Do any of the board members have questions or comments?
I don't. Do you have any questions, Ernie?
Got you with your mouth.
I'm doing what I do best. No, I'm just, that linkage mm-hmm. issue seems to be what really needs to be worked on to be effective.
Correct. You know, it's been talked about, and it's been brought up that the moral reconation therapy groups that are getting started in the jail and then have them connected to our groups when they come out. And we've had a little bit of success, but it was more so because the person was connected with the specialty or with the problem-solving courts. So to be able to be in there, and if we were the ones that were either helping facilitate the groups, or at least the inmates or the clients would know who to access when the program, when they're out of the program, if they want to continue, things like that. Because right now we're running several groups, and we have plenty of space to offer more help for people that are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also wondering if the linkage, to what extent is the linkage problem connected with the people who are contracted to provide the services? Are they, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you have a bit of competition among agencies, and that can create a problem with linkage.
It's a good point, and I think that the folks that I've worked with have been open to at least talking to us. As long as there's a proper release, they're very careful about what they can say and what they can't say. It makes direct contact very difficult to get an accurate assessment of what's going on with someone. If we were the direct contact in the jail, then that would make things a little more fluid, a lot more continuity.
To what extent would the jail administration be a facilitator for some kind of closer interaction?
Mm-hmm. That would be helpful. Right now, when I need to speak with somebody, if I can't talk to Nadia, a lot of the jail staff are very helpful with directing me and letting me know how an inmate is or another one of my coworkers as to the status of someone's care or needs. So the officers have been very helpful.
Cal, do you have any particular questions? How can we be helpful to you?
I'm playing musical chairs here. I was going to sit in the audience, and then you had me sit up there. Now I'm going to come sit next to you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Seat's not taken. How's that working for you?
What's that?
How is the whole thing working for you? It's a candid answer. For real.
It makes it difficult to be able to provide linkage when we are not directly involved in their care.
Sounds like it's not working well at all.
I think it could be better.
Sounds like it's not working well at all.
I think if it was not working at all, we wouldn't be there. I think there is some success and there is some efforts, but it could be definitely better.
Could be better.
Yeah.
I was just making sure the one of the microphones was off because.
I was just making sure about a microphone myself. I mean, we were just in. Can I just speak openly about?
Yeah, sure.
A relaxed way. This is your board meeting, and I'm not sure where my.
This is you're on the agenda.
I know, but I don't know what trespass means here, so I don't know how to. I don't want to take over your
full
agenda.
Full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. Don't equivocate.
We'll stop you if it.
So, you know, I'm just so that it's clear, I'm the director of a program, a study of the criminal justice system in the county that was originally aimed at whether or not a new jail, how big, what for, whatever, but became instead a study of the criminal justice system to understand demand for housing in a jail and other kinds of housing and programs and alternatives. And I have to confess that I was a half step behind on the mental health issue and came to town this time having the terrific cooperation of the county administrator to pull together some people so that I could talk to folks in the mental health field because so many, upwards of 80% of the people in the jail have a mental health issue. Let me say that again, 80. So, the meeting that I just came from, down the hall a couple hours ago, included quite a few people from the mental health community in Champaign-Urbana, pulled together very graciously by Peter to my right. I was there to kind of hear what the system was so that I could get my bearings so that we could interview pieces of the system and get data and get an understanding. Because it has to do with demand for a lot of things. And it was quite surprising to find a lack of a system. I wouldn't call it an anti-system, but it resembles an anti-system in which somebody could go crazy trying to negotiate it. Am I speaking fairly?
For the most part, I think that there's so much room for us to connect and grow to make it so that we're not having to incarcerate mentally ill people for things that we can hopefully help in the community and treat. That's the goal. That's what we would like, to be able to make more connections so that there's not as much reoffending. People are the outreach is there so that we can continue to stay connected with folks, and then also through other interagency services that are in the area, whether it's another mental health agency that offers something that we don't, or if it's another agency that offers, you know, substance use services, so on and so forth.
So the question that Peter asked earlier, I forget how you worded it, was quite artfully worded about them and you, Prairie.
The jail.
No, the Peoria group.
The Peoria group.
And you. Mm-hmm. In the wings, I heard somebody yelling out the word very loud up in the choir, turf, turf, turf. Did I hear correctly?
I don't see a lot of that because I tried to work with their staff to make that more smooth for the clients that are involved. It sounds like that it's definitely two competing agencies looking to provide services.
Is that making things better or worse?
I would think it would make it more complicated and difficult having more of a centralized one agency in there that's able to provide more services that are local. Makes a big difference.
So what I heard in the other meeting is that there is no system, really. You agree?
I agree.
So that's what I'm taking from my day here today, which I kind of wasn't expecting. I was expecting to look for gaps in a system, and look for areas that needed support and funding and technical assistance and whatever. I hope I'm not being impolite. I'm an out-of-towner, and I come in here and I start playing prosecutor. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to get to what the sweet of the bone is here. I heard you say things. This isn't all about you. Obviously, it's about this other agency and the jail and the surround. Surround is very important. The community surround. The transition from jail to the community for a mentally ill person is an earthquake of an issue. You agree?
I absolutely agree.
So, how you doing? So, at the meeting, I had to confess that when I was checking out who was going to be there a week ago, I sort of had a sense that it was provider-dominated, the meeting that I was going to go to, which might have been the right call or the right direction for the meeting. But so I said something to somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, about, well, are there any people of color in that group? And the response was, well, no, but maybe I can get somebody. So when I got there, there was what was his name? Do you remember?
I don't.
Head of the prison ministry.
Yeah, Jesus is the Way Prison Ministries.
And do you remember his name?
I didn't. No, I do not.
Yeah, Milo something. Anyway, a nicely dressed young man who seemed to know what he was about and what he was. He seemed quite purposeful. Prison ministry itself, the words give us a sense of purpose. And he haltingly put forth that he didn't know how the hell he could connect inmates to reentry. And it took a while for that to sink in to a number of people, but it seemed to be a fundamental gap. And then we got into this discussion about, well, where is the map of this system? And it became clear there is no map that says where the system is so that you can see where the system isn't. You don't see freeways or roads or even bicycle paths. There may be a couple of deer trails in this thing, but they aren't obvious. And I think that that's going to be a big challenge for any correction system trying to pull itself up, hauled back down by mentally ill people recycling like frequent flyers without recourse. You're agreeing with everything I said.
I do agree with that.
Yeah. And then I heard you saying that you had some luck with a few.
Yeah. I had a recent individual that the jail contacted. It went through channels. It went through the sheriff to the state's attorney to our agency and said, this individual is going to be released. He's homeless. We need help. Jail's not really sure what to do, so we offered some suggestions. I saw the individual there at the correctional facility, made some referrals, recommendations. He was released. We were able to at least follow up with care and have contact with him so he could come. I mean, he had no phone and no address. He was homeless. So he would come. Him and I would meet at least to at least say, where are we at? What are we doing today? Get him connected with the right residential stuff with Prairie Center, I think, was the next step for him, which is the substance abuse here in town. We were able to find him a place at the Time Center, which is the local men's shelter. So that connection worked really well, but it was a variety of us working together to make those connections. Because what the man had said is, it's cold. If you release me, I will reoffend so I have somewhere to sleep. So far.
So you've said at least three times, and I think what you're saying is there's no system. Again, even by talking about the case that was a success, you're telling everybody in this room that the cause is a failure. The policy issue of a mental health transition from jail to community for mentally ill people who find themselves locked up is a failure.
There is definitely no set system in place right now.
So that's a hell of a challenge. And you know, I just on a personal note, I can feel you all the way over here. And you're trying to do good work. I can feel it.
I try.
It must be nightmarish at times to run into some of the stuff you're beating your head against.
Having the connections between the community agencies, like you said, a system, and having us all involved in that continuity there would make things a lot smoother and would hopefully prevent the lack or, like you said, the failure of having no system at all.
So for everybody else, just before I stop talking way too much and go take my seat back where I was, reentry is not a new concept. The old sheriff's joke about when a guy gets out of jail, the first thing he does is go home and find somebody else in his bed, and there's a fight, and we get more arrests. That's a metaphor for a whole series of broken connections to a community that puts an offender back on the same street corner selling crack and doing whatever he or she did to survive before. And so reentry has proven to be very, very powerful where it exists as a program. Particularly if you bring the family in the day of booking or the day of sentencing to an offender's situation, and every day before that offender gets out, more steps are taken towards addressing where he or she will go the day of release, who will be there for him, what job, what housing, what alternatives to selling crack on the corner. And last program that I was associated with in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we ended up with a 50% cut in recidivism because of a good reentry program. 50% cut recidivism saved you a few new beds in a new jail. And so that's just meant to say how important it is. I don't know what else to say except what's to be done, and I'm not the doer here. So.
How would you define the jail you just talked about in Pittsburgh? We have the Cook County Jail, which is more like a prison.
This is like
we
that.
We have the Champaign County Jail, which is you don't sit there for 3 or 5 years waiting for your trial.
Some people sit there for a long time waiting for a trial, years.
That's not what we're familiar with. I know it happens, yeah. But that's not what we're familiar with.
Yeah, well, it's smaller in days or years and usually the crime of origination is more likely to be a misdemeanor than a felony, although there's lots of felons in there pretrial, because 75% of the people in there are pretrial, and everybody who was in who goes to prison was in the county jail. So it's the same population in so many ways.
I'm just thinking in terms of the reentry.
It'd be much easier for you guys to do a reentry program than Pittsburgh, because there's 2,500 inmates in Pittsburgh. And it's, how should I say this, a more serious crime town. But it's no less effective to do it anywhere than any other place. As a matter of fact, the easier it is to do it, the more effective you'd be.
Peter, if you'll indulge me for a moment, I was, I really thought about opening this up a little bit the last time. Let me give a brief history. I don't know if it'll help him or her or anyone, but I served on two different versions of the Citizens Committee to look into the construction of a new courthouse and jail, and then a new jail because the courthouse and jail failed. When I first went into our jail as an intern, I guess would be the term today, with the public defender's office, it was the old sheriff's residence and jail. Couple of people ran the whole thing. There was one room at the foot of the stairs that was not very large, and that was the interview room. There was only one interview room in the facility. And that was when I learned about stream of consciousness. You would go in to interview an inmate on behalf of the public defender. You would introduce yourself, ask him a question, and they'd take off for 45 minutes. I wasn't used to that sort of thing. If you had a more urgent issue that you needed to talk to an inmate about, they'd say, okay, go on up. There were open, barred cells. It would be hard to really characterize them as cells because they were not compartmentalized the way we think of them these days, but the people were behind bars. And sometimes you could talk through the bars, and sometimes you could talk through the food chute. And there was a lot of discussion that went on there, of course, not exactly a confidential setting. But it worked, and the people who ran the place, a couple of sergeants, both of whom at that time happened to be black, they made it work. And you got the sense, really, it was because, hey, we're all in this together. This is what we've got. We got to live with this. We got to make it work. And it did. So then we try to build the new jail and courthouse. Had everything in place, all ready to go, and the then leadership of the county board decided that rather than going ahead and doing it, they wanted to put it to referendum. And it became apparent they thought they could pass the jail and lose the courthouse. They didn't want to build both. Well, they lost both. And so now we go back into the process because the state was going to, they knew the state was going to force them to build a jail anyway. Now we do it all over again, but the focus is just on the jail. One thing is that in the first go-round, there was a really strong emphasis on preserving green space. Can you imagine a day like that where there was a focus in downtown Urbana on conserving green space? So that ruled out the idea of filling in that space between the courthouse and the old jail. The second time around, that was still a point of emphasis, and then the idea was to build both initially where the downtown jail is now. They were going to be two opposing triangular buildings, one the courthouse and the other the jail. They've learned in several places, including Decatur and Sangamon County, You don't want to build the jail above the courthouse because they'll plug up the toilets and the sinks, and pretty soon you've got water coming down through the court system. Well, they lost the first time. We were able to get the second one through. That building, and we were very much involved with this. We met with the architects. It was very much a bipartisan sort of committee. And then when we saw the final plans, they really weren't much like what we had seen. And Sheriff Hedrick got the final say and ended up with about 40 acres of open space on the first floor. In the ensuing 40-plus years, that's been filled in some. But when it was first opened, you just couldn't figure why they needed all that space there. And we're already complaining about not having space for inmates. Now, what I wanted to get to with regard to your situation here, we had the assistance of the National Clearinghouse for Criminal Justice, which was based here. And one of the things that they said was, don't build it too large. If you build it, they will come. Or more properly, if you build it, they will fill it. So there was a lot of discussion about how large the facility should be. And no sooner did it get open than the state changed the rules. Before that, you could send misdemeanants to Vandalia, and a lot of them went down. No more than a year sentence. They'd spend 6 months, 9 months, be back. A lot of them were on that treadmill, too. But they were less serious offenses. A lot of people went to Vandalia for driving under suspension. You couldn't house certain inmates together anymore. The age limits, not that you ever house males and females together, but there were also some new rules on how you handled the separation. And so now the hue and cry from the community is, you built a jail that was too small. You didn't do your job. And what's been lost in all these ensuing years is that the state changed the rules. And we've struggled with that ever since. Plus the fact that I don't think they maintained the old facility, the new old facility, as well as it could have been. And I've had a number of staff members who agreed with me on that. Give me just another minute here. So then a local judge decides that we need to lock up people who aren't paying their child support. Not a bad concept. We hadn't really done it before, but it was amazing how many people would come up with money when they were headed for the jailhouse door. But all of a sudden, you've got that increased population. And then starting in 1982, we had Jack DeLamar's crackdown on DUIs. We were the first really to buy into Jim Edgar's program. And all of a sudden, you're putting more traffic offenders in. And there have been times over the years that two-thirds of the inmates in the Champaign County Jail on any given day are traffic offenders. Then we get the new building, and it's just more of the same. Now, the other point that is long lost to memory was that the downtown facility was built in a way, as was done with Christie Clinic, as was done with Provena, as was done with Carl. It was built in a way that you could add floors. But when it came time to talk about more space, we end up out here, chewing up yet more green space. And I've never had an adequate explanation for that. I don't expect to get one this evening, but I don't know why they couldn't go with the original plan, house the prisoners across the street from the jail. They rejected my idea that there should be a tunnel underneath, but I don't think they understood that you can build a tunnel by digging up the street and then covering it over. But anyway, those are just various things that I've dealt with now for, oh God, almost 39 years.
it's overcrowded, but it doesn't need to be. It shouldn't be.
It's not.
Well.
It's got quite a lot of empty beds. Far from.
Oh, well, that, you know, I haven't done a head count lately, and that may be the case.
About 2 years or 3 years ago, the presiding judge got tired of hearing it was crowded and asked to see the lift and immediately started bringing cases before the bar and moving the staff to the line. And the presiding judge and the district attorney and the sheriff together have drastically eliminated overcrowding. There's lots of other problems, including the huge mental health problems that we're talking about. But as far as crowding and the need for net new beds, as opposed to better beds, yada, it's no longer the case.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, that was something that we were very concerned about. You don't, again, you build it, they'll fill it. Sooner or later, they'll swing the other way, and they're going to crowd the walls.
There's still the worry that another judge might not do
so. No, historically, our judges, say in the last 20 years, have not been much interested in that sort of thing.
Okay.
So if they're moving the other way, that's wonderful. From my perspective, we have come to accept that bond reductions no longer exist in Champaign County. Now, that's asking for it later on. If they would set more reasonable bonds, which sounds like they're at least heading that way, I'm not sure I see it on a day-to-day basis. But you don't have to lock up everybody that this county in the last 40 years has locked up. And we've met with recipients of services who talk about the way the police handle them on the street. I think maybe we've made just a little bit of progress in that, but you still have a situation that I hear about where the jail doesn't want them, they take them to Provena. Provena doesn't want them, they go back to the jail. And this is pre-charge. That's not release. That's not reentering the community. That's trying to decide what to do with them on day one. And I don't think we do a very good job with that at this time. As to what services we can provide, I know that, at least again with the contacts I have, that the people who try to provide services are very stressed by the circumstances. The treatment by not only other inmates, but by jail staff for those who are incarcerated but aren't necessarily tracking straight is really a problem in this county. And I appreciate your being here because it opened up my mind a little bit, and hope to see more from you and your group and all of you, and maybe we can make some progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for your insight. Do you need anything else, Dr. Cal?
I'd just like to listen to y'all talk about this a little bit. I'm still trying to figure out how to get my bearings in the system. Now, certainly, you had a meeting plan. You should go on with your meeting. I think it was important to get this community element piece clear. And I've heard you say lucky at least enough times that I realize that was great.
Okay, you're welcome.
If I might throw in something else, if you succeed in getting Dr. Jekyll, who is really the only local provider, to opine that your client may be mentally unfit to stand trial or insane, the wait for that person to get to Chester, which is really the only facility the state has,
I think the minimum is 160 to 170 days. So you've got an individual, and I know I talked about this at the time because I had a case that was very troubling to me. But the individual who needs this, who needs to be somewhere else, who needs a different approach, who needs treatment, has to stay for 3-4 months before he gets access. And we don't have the money to really improve that situation either. All right, I'll try to be quiet.
Okay, Peter, you have some comments?
Well, actually, all I wanted to do was to thank Becky for coming tonight, and this is your first time at one of our board meetings, so you had a baptism in fire, I guess, tonight. So thank you very much, and Julie, thank you for being here also.
Thanks. I echo Peter's thoughts. Thanks, everybody, for speaking to us, and come back again. I mean, this is a very interesting topic, and I don't think anybody in the room is of the mindset that people who have mental illness need to be served in jails. I mean, in this community, we can find other ways to take care of that. Okay, now that we have welcomed Julian and Michael, we have a quorum. So we can go back to page one of the agenda. And I think we need to approve the minutes from January 23rd.
I would move the approval of the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and second that we approve the minutes. are there any comments or corrections to be made about the minutes? Okay, hearing none, all in, will you call the roll? You don't have to?
No.
Just all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Then that takes us down to the president's comments. I just had a couple comments. I had the opportunity to attend the ARC conference in Lisle, Illinois. I think I was there February 7th and the 8th. And I had to thank Janice McAteer from Developmental Services for getting me there safely. And she actually served as my translator the whole time because, you know, a lot of the language was forgotten by me, so it was very informative. We had another service provider from our community there, Janice Knapp from Community Choices. So we had a few opportunities to talk about, you know, what we heard, and it was pretty powerful when the court monitor, Tony Ricord, talked about the Ligas agreement, and you had a lot of the heads from the state-operated facilities like Jacksonville and Murray there to talk about their success in transitioning a lot of folks from institutions to homes of four or less, which was 78% so far, and they've only been doing this for maybe under a year. So it was a lot of information, and I'm hoping that our county will do as good a job as, you know, transitioning folks who have the need as some of the other counties have done. So it was a good conference, and I appreciate the opportunity to go. Lynn and Peter encouraged me to go, so that was good. Okay, now we're down to the executive director's comments. Do you have anything else, Peter?
Just have a couple of things. One is I wanted to let the board know what happened at the county board meeting, the committee of the whole meeting related to the expansion of the Developmental Disabilities Board. And at this point, that has been deferred to the March meeting. As we talked about last time, the Developmental Disabilities Board and I gave an opinion that we supported it. It is the county board's call, though, so that's where that stands at this point, and so something probably will happen at the March meeting. I also, in my role with the state association ACMI, which for those of you who are in the audience, it's the Association of Community Mental Health Authorities of Illinois. It's kind of a mouthful of an association name. We met with Julie Hamus, who is the director of Healthcare and Family Services, which is the state Medicaid agency. Primarily to talk about Medicaid expansion and how it's going to impact on communities such as Champaign County. We specifically were wanting to know where do local funders fit in this process, because to some degree we have been shut out of the Medicaid, the whole planning for Medicaid, and there really is no easy way for local funders to participate. We talked about that, and we also got into a conversation about the issue of supplementation of Medicaid rates. The main thing I came away with it was that she spent an hour and 15 minutes with us, which I thought was excellent. We had conversation about Medicaid expansion. Obviously, the thing that they're most concerned about are physical health kinds of issues and also senior issues on the physical health side, because, frankly, that's where most of the Medicaid money goes. I think it was 55% of the Medicaid pie goes to those categories. And so behavioral health is really a small piece of Medicaid. We were able to get the names of several of their staff that we plan on working with, and hopefully we'll be able to gain some clarification.
Thanks, Peter. We had two very good reports, as usual, from Mark and Lynn. So at this time, if either one of you or both of you would like to expand on anything that you said or entertain questions from board members about your reports, we can do that now.
I'll be happy to take questions on my report. I did want to mention that at our meeting earlier today with Dr. Kalmanoff, I had mentioned some of my prior involvement with the Community Jail Task Force and some of the work I had done with Sheila Ferguson and Benita
Gay.
Gay, thank you. And the drafting of a behavioral health report related to the criminal justice system. And so I shared a copy of that with Dr. Kalmanoff this evening, and we'll also be emailing that to him. But I also distributed that to the board this evening, so you have copies of that. I don't know that I had shared that. I think I've talked about it before with the board, possibly last October or November, but I don't know that I actually shared the document with you, so I thought I would distribute that as well. And then if there are questions on my staff report, I'd be happy to field those. My work primarily focused over the last 3-4 weeks on our application cycle. So.
Do you have anything, Lynn?
Basically the same. In my staff report, I noted that all the quarterly reports that were due me were on time. There was only one which required modification, and I'm still waiting for that, because there were some. Occasionally we have reported numbers that don't match across, especially when you look at the demographics or zip code, and there's no obvious reason. Like for some of the agencies which host really large events, a mismatch is fine because they don't collect demographic data at, say, the autism walk, for example. But there was one mismatch. I'm still waiting to find out what it means. And our application process went mostly smoothly until Mark said at about 3:30, boy, it's really quiet on Friday afternoon. And then about 4:15, it wasn't quiet. We were having a little bit of system meltdown right before the 4:30 deadline, but we made it through. So otherwise, because there was no PUNS update since my last staff report, I included sections of the PUNS report from January, which is where last month's data was had come from also. Different detail, and these are all statewide detail, but I thought they were interesting, and I don't usually provide statewide detail. I believe they're consistent with what this community's needs are, but I thought it was interesting to notice that the largest population of people with multiple diagnoses were people with MI and DDs. That's a population of interest to me for many years. That the age of people waiting, the largest group are in their 20s, which I believe means that nothing much happened after high school for a lot of people across the state. And then the summary of support needed is really consistent with what we see in the for the county supports that are desired. Otherwise, I probably won't do that again because we there is supposed to be another large draw from puns for the LIGAS implementation. It was supposed to occur in January or February, so I imagine that's why nothing's happening on the report. They're probably preparing a large selection now. So hopefully we'll see some movement next month.
Anyway, okay, thanks. Tracy, would you like to talk about the Access Initiative update that your staff contributed to collectively?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add other than what the report has itself. If there's any questions, I'll take those. But.
Okay.
I have a question. It's on Dante Rollins' report. On the second page, I'll just read, it says, meeting hosted by the Champaign County State's Attorney to discuss the possibility of creating a juvenile assessment center. I haven't heard of that idea before. Can you expand on that, please?
Yeah, there's been a series of meetings that have been taking place over the past probably 4 to 6 months. As you may recall, I hosted a group that went up to Minneapolis to look at their youth engagement work, not only in Minneapolis, but we also participated in a conference. There are 25 other communities across the country looking at youth violence reduction, youth engagement activities, and part of what we saw up there was an assessment center. And so there's a group of us that have been meeting, again, over the last few months to explore the idea and look at if something like that is needed and can be helpful in our community to look at how we serve and engage and probably most importantly catch young people on the front end of activities, or whether it's truancy, curfew, the smaller crimes or the lesser crimes, I should say. If we had a facility that we could then capture them on the front end, maybe we cut some of the long-term effect. And so we're still in the early discussion phases and starting to draft out what that might look like if we were to do something like that here locally.
Yeah. I think, again, it seems to me the strength of this system is that the state's attorney's office is very much involved in coordinating these kinds of activities. I'm so accustomed to seeing these folks in two different camps. You have the justice system and the psychological services that they don't always agree, but the fact that
that's part of the great work of Access, Ernie. Say it that way. That part of the work that we're doing is bringing everyone together so we can have these conversations. So we are talking about supportive services, supportive work for the young folks, as well as making sure we're not creating something that's just about being punitive. And so, we're having a lot of those discussions community-wide.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter?
Well, I was just to add, you all have a copy of the WACAS 1, the Champaign County Community Coalition document. Just to let you know, that's been a piece of what Tracy has been involved with and what Access Initiative has been involved with. And it's likely that this could be the sustainability piece for the system of care, the place where all the different people that and all the different agencies come together, and a lot of the work that's been done thus far has, I see this as a way to continue, what Access has done post cooperative agreement. So, and I would encourage all of you, if you haven't done it already, to go to the website that they have that's listed on here. It's very nicely done. You'll also see a lot of good things about Access Initiative, some of the work that Tracy has done in that arena that you might not have heard about. So
I suspect we'll have more information about this to come.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're down to board-to-board reports. Does anybody have anything to report?
I seem to be monopolizing this discussion. But I recently went through stacks of stuff I've gotten in the past from Prairie Center, and it takes me a while to get through the thing, but one of the, maybe I can't even find it now, the an approach that you're using in with, anyway, it's, I think it's an approach that's used for juvenile, younger people. Oh, where is that?
The seven challenges?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, would like a little more idea as to what that approach is about and how it's working.
Well, it's a research-based model, evidence-based, that we have two people, at least, that are trainers that have gone on for the training of that. And it's a curriculum-based model of which we bring the kids in for. It's both group and individual. And there's prescribed modules that they go through in regards to rethinking, cognitive thinking, restructuring approaches to the use of alcohol and drugs. It's a very effective model, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback.
Thank you. And thank you for...
Oh, sure.
No, so I didn't have to dig through even more.
Do you have anything, Julian? Deb?
No.
Island? Michael?
Again, not in the nature necessarily of staff to staff, but something that I think you would be interested in and that I hope maybe we have more involvement through the community. I'm very pleased to report that I think for the first time in the existence of the university, at least since World War II, there is now in the basement of the Illini Union, where the village I forget what they used to call it. I always enjoyed it, but it's been gone for quite a while. In any event, we now have a student veterans lounge in the union on the campus. It's a lot different from the frame house that was on Green Street when I came back in 71, which was housed everything that was supposed to support students, but nothing of this nature. And I'm hoping that this will enable these people to work through some of their issues, which we see, I think, more emphasis on, more reporting on, more attention paid to the problems of returning veterans. I'm still up in the air about whether video games are really a good thing for PTSD, but that's what they're promoting now. No video games in this lounge, at least not to this point. The thing that that struck me and I think anyone of my particular generation was there's a typical, well-done map of Afghanistan. There's a similar map of Iraq. There's no Vietnam. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we are moving behind that, but we see as recently as the situation in Alabama. I honestly thought I had heard the last thing about a crazed Vietnam veteran performing some particularly outrageous act, and here it's happened within the last month. I certainly do not condemn all Vietnam veterans, but I hope to maybe work some of that history into the new lounge as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks. Anything else? Okay. The next portion is agency information. Would anybody like to speak? Do you have anything? Julie? Dale? Bruce? Marquias? Welcome, and hopefully you'll come back again. And welcome, Astrid. You want to sit in your seat up here? Okay. Any other agency information? Okay, if not, we need to approve our financial prepare bills tonight.
I move
it's been moved and second that the financial report be accepted. Are there any comments or questions about it?
I would move the acceptance.
We already have a it's been moved in second.
I couldn't hear it over my rustling there, so I withdraw my second motion.
Do you have any comments or questions? Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we're into our new business, and we've already completed one portion of it, Dr. Kalmanoff. So the rest of it is just pretty much informational from this point on. I have a list of the liaison assignments, so board members, please let me know what you would like to do, if you would like to keep your present assignments, or if you would like another one, just let me know. And for new people, Astrid and Julian, board members always serve as a liaison to some of our local service providers. So look at the list and see where your interest might be. Okay?
How many?
One or two.
They're all listed here, so I don't know what the procedure is.
Just write it down and hand it to me, what your choice is. You don't have to decide tonight. Okay, the next is application funding requests. We have that. This is a draft. And you'll see the applicants and the amounts that they have requested. And as usual, they're big figures, so I'm sure we don't have enough money to take care of everybody's requests, but we'll work on it. The next is the April board meeting. Peter, would you like to talk about some of the possibilities for our April meeting?
Yeah, actually, we were proposing April 24th. April 17th is the conflicts with the ACMI Legislative Conference in Springfield, which, by the way, I want to invite any board member that wants to go, please let us know so that we can make arrangements for you. So we're looking at the 24th, if that is agreeable to the board. We have the room reserved on that date.
Right. Do we need to vote or just reach agreement? Okay, thanks, Peter. Item E is the Champaign County Anti-Stigma Alliance. We should have an oral report. It's who's giving that report?
I'll volunteer.
Okay.
We have there's not a lot we can say, because some of it is still a secret, and then some of it remains to be decided at the Anti-Stigma Alliance Steering Committee meeting in early March. So what we do know is that Roger's selection of a film that we're sponsoring, and we can't say what it is, so there's that. We do know that we're going to host a panel discussion during Ebert Fest. It'll be during the day on April 19th, which is Friday, or April 20th, which is Saturday, before everyone goes over to the theater. That discussion will be in the Illini Union, and our steering committee will be talking about potential panelists for that. We have an ad. We're going to do a full-page ad in Ebert Fest, and with the usual schedule, probably. But again, all these things need to be decided at the first steering committee meeting. So it's coming up really quickly.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Lynn. Now we're down to, any other comments? We're down to 13, old business. The very last page in our packet is our date for the Champaign County Disability Resource Expo, October 12th, here at Lincoln Square Village in Urbana. And Barb Bresner and her committee, I'm sure, are making some great plans.
And that steering committee meeting has yet to be scheduled.
Okay.
We want to complete the Eberfest details first and then work on that.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? If not, I need a... Julia?
We're done.
No, we're not done yet.
Oh, okay.
You can talk about anything.
I have a question, but it's not necessary to do it right now. I wanted to do it at the end of whatever other business.
We don't have any more business.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
We're all through the business.
This is a great time to talk.
Since I was late, I didn't manage to hear Mr. Klamenoff. Oh, I've met him before, and as you know, I'm on the task force as well, and I'll see him again on Friday. I won't be late. So what I wanted to know is, does this board have anything to say about this situation? Have we taken a position on any of the issues? Do we wish to take a position? Do we have any way that we want to communicate our point of view to the county? That's my question, since I just joined the board, and I'm sorry that I wasn't here early enough to raise it while he was here, although I'm not sure I should have raised it while he was here. But at any rate, that's my question.
We actually have, you know, most of what we have done related to justice, the justice system has been on the juvenile side. We have, you know, funded the evidence-based practice, the Parenting with Love and Limits, and we've also supported the Access Initiative cooperative agreement. On the adult justice side, we have funded the drug court and mental health court, and we also have funded several other contracts with providers, and that's the one that Becky was talking about tonight. What occurred during the meeting we had prior to this meeting was the fractured nature or the of this system that we have kind of was pretty glaring, and we have not taken a position on that per se. Mental health services in the jail statute, it's the sheriff's, you know, it's really the sheriff's purview. We can do pretty much whatever we want in terms of how we allocate our resources, and if that is viewed as a priority, that's something that we certainly can look at doing more of. Other than what I've just described, there really hasn't been a systematic approach to dealing with the adult jail issues.
Okay. So I guess I just wondered whether it might be appropriate for the county mental health board to have an opinion with respect to the issues that the county is facing with regard to their criminal justice system. Since mental health is becoming, I assume it turned up earlier, but it's become an obvious issue from the point of view of the task force, and maybe Astrid wants to comment on this because she's actually the chairperson of it. But I think what we're hearing is pretty clearly that fractured would be a terrific description, but what we're hearing is that the mental health services pretty much at every level with respect to people who end up either at risk for going to jail or being in jail are just not well coordinated and probably not all that available. The police have in fact been meeting. I've been attending meetings with different police forces, and they themselves have organized meeting to talk about the problems that the officers on the street have when they want to bring when they are called. You know, they're the most frequent caller for a mental health problem, right, or the police. When they don't really want to bring someone to jail and they can't find a place for them in the local services, they wind up in jail because they have no choice. At some point in the system, they have to end up somewhere. Because the police are charged with public safety. So they're sort of at a loss for what to do about it. And anyway, and all this is to simply say, I know I was partly inquiring as to whether or not this has been a topic of conversation here. I think I understand that our priority for funding has not been there. And I wasn't necessarily raising that issue, certainly not at this moment. But what I wondered is if it's not appropriate for the Mental Health Board to simply have some point of view to share with the county board, because they'll be getting points of view from various places, and it seems like this maybe would be a group that would want to have something to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Would this be an appropriate topic for a study session?
Well, since I'm new to the board, I'm not sure exactly what the procedures
are. I'm asking Peter.
I'm really asking Peter.
No, it would be definitely an appropriate
topic. We could have a study session and sort of hear some of the pros and cons of what's going on with your committee, or if Asterisk is open to that. And then maybe we could formulate a position. Because right now, I mean, I have a personal opinion, but collectively, I think we could come up with something.
Okay, so I guess I'm proposing that we at least talk about it.
Okay.
See what we think.
Sooner.
That's a very good idea.
Okay. So do we have space in March, you think?
I don't know. Mark, do we have anything scheduled for a study session?
Not
March is really actually a pretty light month because we're in the midst of evaluating the applications.
Okay.
I guess I would want some guidance as to whether it's a discussion amongst the board, or you're expecting to hear from agency folks, or who you are interested in having participate in the study session.
Well, what do you think, Dr. Rappaport?
Well, I mean, again, I feel a little bit awkward here, being just sort of entering the process.
You are an equal partner.
But I don't know enough yet to know what you know and don't know.
I'm really fascinated by your accounts of the police. We very rarely get input from the police.
Right.
And I think that would be important. I mean, I would support what you're suggesting, and maybe include other people in the justice system besides agencies that provide mental health treatment.
Well, I did a tour of the new jail the other day, and the police said they have a standard routine where they bring these people in, they have to book them, they have to fingerprint them, and then they send them home. They don't even put them in the
I'd like us to meet as Julian has suggested, but I would hope that this would not be just that we're hearing more from people, although our resources are very important, and we have a lot to learn, I think, about this whole issue. We've never really talked about this issue, as I can remember. But if it's just another, we're hearing from people who know a lot, and that's the end of it, where have we gotten? I think something should be built in. I don't quite know how to do this right now, but so that we could discuss whether or not we want to take a position, and B, what that position might be.
It's not so, just the position, perhaps, but options.
Mm-hmm. Options.
I think April 30th, the ILPP is done, and they're going to give their recommendations. And what we need to offer to them as much as possible, and to the board in the 2 months after that, is an options. You know, we all know what the problems are, the questions. What can we do about it? Anyone who has any idea for what the options are, that's really...
Can we find out what other groups are doing and get information on that so that we could inform ourselves before a study session?
You mean other mental health boards?
Anybody who's working on...
Well, the task force that is a... You know about the task force, right? It's a community-based task force to consider what alternatives there might be to building a new jail. So that task force has done a fair amount of work and had a preliminary report that it presented, but it's in process. Nevertheless, maybe it would be useful to have, I guess what I'm thinking, I don't know exactly, again, I'm a little unclear on what is appropriate and inappropriate, and I don't, it might get a little incestuous since there are now two members of this board on that task force.
Maybe that's good.
So, because otherwise, what I would be inclined to do is to say this board could get informed about what the task force is thinking and have an opinion about whether or not they want to say to the county board, we think this task force is completely wrong, or we think that the task force approach sounds good to us as a mental health board, or whether or not that's not, maybe that's not appropriate. I don't know quite how this, what's appropriate for this board to do in that regard.
Well, you know, one thing I would I'm going to give you a little bit of internal look at what staff have talked about from time to time. Over the years, and I've taken some criticism from my fellow staff members from time to time because of a feeling that we've done pretty too much things that are tied to county government. That, you know, most of the, you know, all of the things, I mean, basically the juvenile justice things, you know, that money, we currently have about $1.2 million committed of our money committed to juvenile justice, which is really designed to help the county, the state's attorney and the juvenile justice system in Champaign County. We support drug court. We support mental health court pretty heavily. I mean, we really are the primary funders of those things. The question that I would, you know, that I think the board has to ask is to what extent or how much more of our resources do we want to take away from, you know, the mental health, developmental disability, and substance use services for the general population, many of whom are unfunded, that are not Medicaid eligible, to use specifically for people that are involved with other agencies in the county. So I think that's a key question that we have to think about. I think at this point we have a, at one point, Mark, what did you did a, you looked at how much money we have committed, and it's a huge amount of money that's committed to our intergovernmental agreements within county government. So, you know, that I think what I heard tonight is that I think we need to be thinking about, and by the way, Julian, I think that the report that is in front of you that Mark did, that was part of the Mark and Sheila Ferguson did this report, really kind of lays out some things that we, you know, sort of our position at this point.
Yeah, Julian is certainly familiar with that.
That's appended to the task force progress report.
I think that we have to pay attention. You know, and I think maybe we do have to take a position because, I mean, obviously, if we have a system that is not effective, we need to do what we can to fix that. And maybe when we have the study session on this topic, it would be good to have the agencies that we fund come in with recommendations as to what they think is needed, and use that as a jump off point. Maybe have that in advance so that the board can look at that. And you know, we can pass a resolution, we can take a position, a public position, on the jail situation. But the other point I want to remind everybody on is that you know, this is the responsibility of the sheriff. What happens in the jail is the responsibility of the sheriff. It's in the statute. And I don't think this board can take responsibility for everything that's wrong in this county.
Right.
Because right now we try to fix things that the education system drops. We fund some programs that should be the responsibility of education. You know, so those are the kinds of things that we probably need to think about as we, you know, when we formulate our position. But this board can do you're not limited. The board, this board can, we can allocate all of our money to the adult jail issue if we want to.
If I may, I'm not necessarily, I wasn't even thinking about
money.
Our board allocating any money anywhere at this moment. I was thinking about our board using its position in order to have an opinion about an important community discussion. So, for example, this report, I'm glad you brought this up because, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but my memory is, sir, if my memory serves, you were very clear when you were participating in making this contribution to the task force. You were very clear in saying, I am not representing the mental health board. I am here as an individual with this particular set of knowledge and interests, but I am not representing the mental health board. So that's quite different. So I guess one could say, would we like it to represent, I mean, this is one example of what maybe it should represent the mental health board, which, as so anyway, you get the idea of what I'm suggesting, that maybe there's a sense, some sense I have is that there's a lot of individuals and a lot of agencies and a lot of interests that are going to have expressions of their point of view. I'm thinking maybe it's appropriate for the mental health board to have a point of view, which is a completely separate issue from what we use our 708 monies for. So this would be an example of, you know, a set part, some of the recommendations that we might think about as a board.
Well, as a starter, could you spearhead making sure that all the board members would get copies of all the recommendations from the task force and everything, so at least we could become aware of what's been talked about so far. This is just from Mark.
Yeah, that is an excerpt from the full report.
But the full report. Is that possible? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a progress report. So, yeah, right. And the task force is continuing to meet.
Right.
So on, but yes, for sure.
Is that possible, Asterisk? Okay.
Yeah, there are.
I think Jim supplies them to other people.
Okay.
I think you're giving everything you want.
Right. Okay, that would be a starter, and then we could have a study session and just kind of maybe use that as the centerpiece for our discussions. Mm-hmm.
I think we can lay out some.
At that point.
That's right.
We wouldn't even need speakers. We would just, you know, do the homework and read all the reports and then have the questions and formulate a position if we wanted to take a position. Because you've done all the legwork. I mean, Mark, when you were on there, they did a lot of legwork. Now you're still doing a lot of legwork. And we don't have to recreate the wheel.
There was a preliminary report that was presented by the Community Justice Task Force at the end of their first term. That was presented, I think, at the November study session of the county board, and that is available. It's, I think I've got it as an e-copy of it, and I can certainly share that with the board. I'd be happy to do that. Regarding the work that I did there, I did that as an individual and made that point clear simply because I did not feel that I did not want to obligate the board in terms of what was presented. Actually, I would be pleased if the board spent the time to review it and actually were willing to endorse the work that was done. And I think Sheila and Benita would also feel the same, as well as probably the rest of the Community Justice Task Force then and now.
Well, sounds like it would be a good start.
Would be a great step.
Mm-hmm. So who's going to be responsible for getting this to us?
We'll do that. We'll get it.
And at our next meeting, we'll start the dialogue.
We will have this as a long agenda item.
I think we've already started it.
Yeah,
thank
conclude
you very
it, hopefully.
I don't know if I was supposed to introduce new business in this way or not.
No, that's okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to do
it. That's fine.
New thought. Would it be possible to produce the record of that study session we had with consumers about their interactions with police several years ago now. I mean, there are several of our members now who were not on the board at the time. This is always a problem with board service. We have had some truly marvelous presentations that no one else ever hears about. So I think you would benefit from that. I don't think it would hurt for me to see it again, but some very cogent, strong representations from our consumers with regard to their interactions with the police.
Are you talking about the session we had when we were meeting at the
train station? The train station?
Right.
The intermodal train
station. Right. And we had the Vietnam person, and we had a local physician.
A variety. The boards from the VA really stand out in my mind.
Right.
There was another one that was focused more on the abilities and employability, and again, we had consumers, and that made a very strong impression on me. That was at the time developmental, the smaller board was being voted on, and I remember it came just at a time where I could get up and I think maybe Dale was even there, but spoke to what was then my Rotary Club about this concept of differently abled as opposed to disabled. And that flew, at least from my perspective, pretty much out of that one study group. It was just very impressive. We don't, as individuals and certainly not as a body, get to experience that often. And before I quit, we touched on it last month, but the e-version of the Illinois Alumni News had a wonderful story about Ernie's find.
Yeah.
And although when I tried to print it out, the first page came out about that size, and I don't know. But I had read the poem, and I really appreciate your efforts. And Peter, did you point out to the county board that regardless of the size of the Disabilities Board, we all still get paid the same.
On that note, I think we need a motion to adjourn.
I just have one other question. You know, with all the emphasis on gun violence and this kind of thing, and even the, I think I've been interested in the NRA's position. Well, it's the broken mental health system, you know, but nevertheless, the focus on the mental health aspects is certainly might be another timely pressure to reinforce your position. Is that, you know, it's the there's getting to be that connection, intended or not, or projection on that. And I was wondering what's going on in the state pertaining to that. You know, the governor is supposed to have some kind of a task force or something.
There's a couple things. I'm really not totally up on it at this point. I know that there are several laws that are bills that have been put forward. The governor had hosted the meeting, I think I talked about last month, about school safety, which was, you know, a pretty good meeting, and it got into a lot of different areas, the mental health area, as well as, you know, the issues related to confidentiality, and also, you know, making schools safer. It was mostly focused on school safety issues. But I can catch you up with that. There's a number of things that are happening, and we can put those on the agenda for next month.
It seems to me, you know, a number of things seem to be converging, all on the mental health aspects of the justice system and problems with it.
I understand. The thing is at the jail, they have to keep the mental health people there until there's room for them in a locked facility, in a secure facility. And I believe Quinn is closing those so that there will never be space for them.
Well, is Chester part of that system?
Chester
is the only place I can think of.
Yeah. Is that Menard?
McFarland also.
It's near.
It's near. Across the river or not across the river.
That is not the same as Jacksonville and the other facilities that have been closed. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the Department of Corrections, not the Department of Mental Health, although there, not to say that there isn't some overlap there. Which also brings me to another point. Now that they have closed Jacksonville, and I can't think what particular report it was that made me think of this, but are they going to keep the heat on? Are they going to keep the pipes from freezing? Or is it going to be like Whitehall at Rantoul, once apparently the largest building of its kind in the world, probably before the Pentagon, but which was truly just abandoned and allowed to fall in on itself?
Wow. Okay, Julian?
Well, I'll say one more thing about this since it's now come up. But maybe this is already well known. I'm not sure, but I was a little surprised to discover that although it is a problem when you're dealing with people who have already been found to be in need of confined mental health services for some period of time, to have the services because the state's not providing them, we have this other local problem which involves people who are obviously having serious emotional problems, who come to the attention, who do something that may be classified as either a nuisance or a crime, depending on exactly how you want to, there's a lot of discretion involved in that. And what happens is, locally, that the local, Provena and Carl, are pretty restrictive about who they'll provide a service for. So unless you're going to get them to be, get the paper signed for an involuntary commitment, which is a pretty high standard, they don't want to provide services for those folks. And then the question becomes, well, who does? And as far as I can tell right now, well, Community Elements has a couple of, I'm not even sure how full-time they are, crisis workers who sometimes can provide something short-term, but not very quickly because there's not enough of them. So what we have here is a problem of people with observable mental health problems not seen legally to rise to the standard of involuntary commitment, but clearly needing mental health services, have no place to go, and the police will, sometimes for what they judge as the protection of the person or sometimes the protection of the other people, be forced to place them in the jail. And they will then be held there in the jail. I don't know how long. It depends. That depends. You know, it depends on how the state's attorney is processing things that day or what decisions are going to be made in an individual case. So this is clearly a community problem. Now, it is true that it's the jail. The administrator of the jail, Officer Lieutenant, I think his name is Jones, has said they don't want these folks there. They don't know what to do with them. They don't have adequate mental health services for them. They don't really think they should be there. And they're asking for help. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that this 708 board is responsible for providing that. All I'm suggesting is this is a pretty poor community service in a community of this size and potential expertise that we ought to be able to figure out, and I'm thinking we might want to have something to say at least about what makes sense to the county to think about. I didn't want us to think that the problem is how many people are being held in the jail until the state can provide long-term services for people who have met the standard of involuntary commitment. That's a small part of the problem locally. So I was just clarifying that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
On the other hand, we consider it a great step up that the third shift of the Champaign Police Department hasn't killed anyone who was mentally ill recently.
Wow.
I have nothing to say about that.
Historical fact.
Okay, just a reminder, make your selection for your liaison choice. If you don't make it tonight, make it really soon and make sure you get it to Stephanie. Okay.
Are we done? When she says we're done.
Oh, you got it? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. If we need somebody to move that we adjourn.
I would move if you need.
And we need a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?